Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are all works in progress, aren't we? Yeah, we're not where we're supposed to be. You know, we believe in Jesus. We've trusted in his death and resurrection, his perfect life, to give us the gift of righteousness, to grant us eternal life. And yet we're still encased in the flesh. We still have remaining sin. And that is true of you, and that is true of me, and that will be true of all of us until we meet the Lord. Galatians chapter 5 spells it out in verses 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There is a war within us. We have a traitor within our breast, as someone has said. That is our own flesh, our own remaining sin. And so we're in this fight with our flesh until the day we meet the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So that's wonderful. We have a wonderful resource in the Holy Spirit helping us out. But we also have a resource in the body of Christ, in our Christian friends. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, this is a verse we've come back to on Integrated again and again because it's such an important verse and one of my favorites. Basically, there's a lot of truth here. Number one, we need to be involved in one another's lives. We can't just show up on Sunday morning and think, okay, I did my job, so that's done, and I don't have to worry about anything else. I've gone to the church show. No, we're in this thing together. We're part of the team, building up the body, helping each other to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And that includes applying God's word to one another's life, right? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. That's our ministry methodology of biblical ministry, applying God's truth in love to one another. But Hebrews 3:13 says, we need to be about one another's business day by day, as long as it is still called today, lest anyone be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Not only is your flesh trying to keep you from doing the things you want to do at your best, the flesh is actively tricking you, deceiving you. Your sin lies to you. I'm sorry to tell you if you didn't know that, but it is a fact. So we even see things distorted. We don't even see all of our own issues. So it's so good to have great Christian friends surrounding you, helping you, building you up, and even helping you to see your sin. So we've talked about this before, but today I really want to focus on the application side of this. All right, if this is true, what kind of person do you need to be to really benefit from others in the body of Christ helping you see your sin? Okay. I mean, it's one thing to get us up and going and to actually have the guts to speak God's truth in a gracious way to our brother or sister when we see a need in their life. But it's another thing when you're on the other side of that to humbly receive reproof and correction. But oh, how important it is. Now think about businesses. If a business wants to become more efficient, more profitable, often they pay big bucks to bring in the consultant, the expert, the efficiency expert from out of town to come and analyze every part of their business and give a good report. Here's how we make it better. Well, what is that going to mean? That's going to mean first seeing areas where you're inefficient, areas of deficit, areas you're doing things wrong, or people, personnel that are incompetent for the jobs that they're in. Well, that's got to be uncomfortable for a lot of people. But we actually paid big money for them to tell us these things. How about sports? I love sports. I love to talk in terms of sports analogies a lot. But think about coaches. One of the jobs of the coach is to fix you, to fix the players, to squeeze the players to get the best out of each one of their players. Well, that includes the starting point of showing them that they're doing it wrong. Oh, man. We're in Georgia, and one of the great golf tournaments that comes up in the spring in Georgia is called the Masters, right, at Augusta National. And right now, one of the top golfers is Scottie Scheffler. Just imagine if you were just hitting some golf balls and just kind of practicing your swing, and Scottie Scheffler walked up to you while you were on the driving range, and you're like, oh, goodness, Mr. Scheffler, this is great to see you. And he says, hey, I saw some things you're doing wrong, and I would like to help you to improve your golf swing. Now, what if you replied, oh, yeah, come on, big shot. You know, I see you on TV doing all your stuff, but don't tell me what to do. Well, if we were to take the book of Proverbs and to use that as a lens to view this scenario, I would call you a golf fool, a golf scoffer, right? You are a golf sluggard. You're not receiving reproof. You're completely a fool in that way. People are helping us, especially our brothers and sisters. Now, does that mean everybody always helps you perfectly? No. Does that mean that they get it right? No. But the message of Proverbs is absolutely clear. So if you've got your Bible, let's look there for a little bit, because I want you to see this. This is important for you to get into your heart. It's extremely consistent, right? Throughout the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, God's inspired book of wisdom for you and for me. All right? Proverbs chapter 9, there's three verses in a row here. Proverbs 9, beginning with verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Let's stop right there and just stop and think for a second. This is, of course, talking about the corrector, right? The one who's trying to come and bring reproof. But it gives some insight into the attitude of the person. If you try to correct a scoffer or a wicked man, you receive abuse and injury. So Solomon even will come back and say, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. So you also get hatred for your efforts. But he keeps going. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. So what's the action? It's reproof, right? It's reproof both times. You're reproving a wicked man or a wise man. All right, keep going. Proverbs chapter 9. Now we're into verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. Okay. So there's a great benefit here. And it's all about the attitude of the recipient. So we've already shown from Scripture, we're all works in progress. We're all people that need God's grace to help us keep going and keep growing in the Christian life. We all have blind spots. We all need others in the body of Christ to come and exhort us and to help us. The question is, will we receive it? And the heart of the answer is, are you a wise man or are you a fool? Are you a woman of wisdom and knowledge and insight? Or are you a woman who is a scoffer or a wicked woman? Or, someone who would give injury and hatred to a person who even tries. Wow, this is kind of a humbling topic, isn't it? But it's an important one for us to consider. So we've started out with the theological truth of our remaining sin, but today we're making application, talking about receiving the reproof we need to see our sin, that we might put it to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we want to continue to apply this truth of being a better receiver of reproof.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. You know what this conversation reminds me of? That moment when there's someone in your church who says something kind of hard to hear, and then you realize it was probably the most loving thing they could have said. We talk a lot about community, but if we're honest, we don't always want what real community requires, and that is correction and reproof. That's why Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand by Paul David Tripp is a resource that I highly recommend everyone, every single Christian reading. It's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's not a how-to book. It's a reframe. It shows you how God uses ordinary, flawed people to bring extraordinary grace into each other's lives. It'll make you grateful for the brother who speaks up and maybe a little more ready to do it yourself. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand. It's available right now at fortisinstitute.org. And if that's something you want built into your daily life, not just once in a while, but every day, Fortis Plus is something else that you need to also get your hands on. Absolutely free of charge, won't cost you anything. And it's not a flash in the pan devotional newsfeed. It is substantial biblical input from voices that don't aim to impress you, they aim to shape you. 7 new pieces of content are loaded every single day. Again, all free, no strings, just biblical truth with a whole lot of weight. You can download it right now from the place you download all of your apps from, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And if you've benefited from Dr. Kratz, if you've benefited from anything on Fortis Plus, I want to also ask if you would consider something. Look, gospel ministry is not flashy. It doesn't trend, but it matters. And the only way it's going to keep going is with people like you who say, I stand with you. Becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Fortis is not about perks or access. It's about making sure the kind of content and the kind of work that we're producing, biblically clear, theologically sturdy, keeps reaching people who need it. And if you're in a place in your life right now where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we will be eternally grateful. All of the details about what it would look like in your life are available right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Kratz. Let's keep thinking deeply about what it means to be humble enough to hear the hard things. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about the fact that we're still works in progress. Spiritually, we're not where we need to be. And one of the means that God uses to help us make spiritual progress to become more like Jesus is when a brother or sister reproves us or corrects us, brings God's word to bear about something he sees in our lives. We've seen some Proverbs already. We're going to look at some more, But the message of Proverbs, if I can just summarize it all, and of course you can test this as you examine the scriptures yourself, but my summary of the whole thing is, you are totally wise if you receive reproof, and you are totally a fool if you blow it off. If you fail to receive reproof, you are the loser. You are the fool in that scenario. Now, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor a long time at the same church by God's grace. I'm still a work in progress. I still sin and I need help from my brothers and sisters, from my wife, from my kids, to help me to grow, to see the things I need to grow in. But let me just tell you something. If you're not a pastor, you could probably see how this would be true. It's kind of intimidating, I think, for people in the church to come and rebuke their pastor. Now, some people have a really easy time doing that, I suppose. But for most people, it's like, they don't want to do that. And they're trying to show their pastor the Bible and show him where he's sinning. He's supposed to be the Bible guy. He's supposed to be the one that teaches us and shepherds us through the scripture. And now I'm having to show him. This is super awkward. And so, all right. Well, how do you mix those two things together? I'm a pastor. I need people to come and help me with my own sin. And yet they're reluctant and intimidated to do that. So if I'm to be totally wise and receive reproof, how can I help them? Well, I've made a personal practice. I'm not saying this is exactly biblical. I'm just saying this is my application of these things. And my intention is to welcome people, to make it easy for them to talk to me. If somebody is trying, you know, you can tell they're mumbling and stumbling and you know they've got a concern, make it easy. Welcome them. Thank them. Thank them for coming. Thank them for trying to help you to see your own sin. And here's the thing. The temptation for me, like just my gut flesh instinct, is to try to turn it back on them, right? Maybe they haven't rebuked me in the proper biblical way, and I'm going to help them to see more how they can do a biblical rebuke. No, I'm going to choose not to do that because I want it. I want them to give me what they've got as best that they can. And so I want to just listen. I've kind of made a rule just for myself. Just wait 24 hours. And if you've got something that they need to hear, maybe they did do something wrong. Maybe they didn't have the whole story. Then wait a day and come back and talk to them again. Guess how many times I've had to do that to actually go back 24 hours later? Yeah, it's not many at all, right? I mean, even though my flesh thinks, oh, I can't wait, just start the timer, I'm going to come back. No, just wait, listen, humble yourself and listen. Remember, you're totally wise if you receive it. You're totally a fool if you don't. And so that has been a great help to me in receiving reproof and welcoming it. John MacArthur has pointed out that even if the people are kind of some wrong and some right, focus on the part that they're right about. You know, that's a really good rule. And then he also has said, they don't know everything about what's going on in your heart. I mean, you feel all defensive about what they are pointing out, but if they knew the whole story of all the blackness of your heart, they would have a whole lot more material to work with. So, wow, just be humble. Try to listen. Focus on the part that they have right. Kind of be committed to wait a little bit to before you come back with anything they need to hear. Now, I should say, sometimes a person just is missing a chunk of information. Like if they knew this little piece of information, it really would affect the story of what's happening. And so there are times I might give a little insight that they don't have, but in terms of trying to turn it back on them or correct them, no. In terms of defending myself, no, don't do that. God is going to defend you and it's going to be okay. Now, why do we have such a hard time receiving it? I think it's our pride, right? And we're distorted. Our flesh thinks we're right. Our flesh deceives us. Our flesh lies to us. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can know it? When we look at ourselves, it's like we're looking at ourselves through one of those carnival mirrors. Everything is kind of out of shape. We see ourselves some, but we don't see the whole accurate picture. And so we're so grateful to have others to help us. Now, I've given you some Proverbs already. I just want to give you some more. I've told you that the message of Proverbs is very consistent on this point about receiving reproof. So let's reinforce it a little bit. Proverbs 10:17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. How can you love discipline? I don't want it when somebody's giving me the business. Well, the only way I can love it is to step back and to appreciate it. I might not like it if this guy named Scotty comes up and tries to help me with my golf swing. What does he know? But if I step back and say, oh, he's like one of the best golfers on the planet, and he's taking the time to point out my flaws and help me, I actually don't think he has that much time that it would take to improve my golf swing, but that would be incredible, an incredible privilege. And you'd say, well, I kind of feel like he's disciplining. Yeah, I need to love that discipline, right? Let me say it again, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, right? If I want to grow in my knowledge of the game of golf, I'm going to listen when Scotty Scheffler speaks to me. If I want to grow as a Christian, when my brother or sister says, hey, I'm seeing this pattern in your life, and here's what the scripture says, thank God for a voice to help me see something I've been missing. Because I want to love knowledge. I want to love the knowledge of God's word and God's ways. And I want to grow to be more like him. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. See, there's a contrast there. If you think, I don't need to listen to you, I'm right. The Bible says, you're in the fool category, sir. But if you change to listening, then you're in the wise man category. Proverbs 13, verse 10. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. Don't bow up. Don't rebel. Don't fight back. Receive it. Proverbs 15, verse 10. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. There's a lot we could talk about, but let me show you one more. Proverbs 17, verse 10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. That is blows like punches, right? Like boom, 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 right? Not just, you know. Anyway, a rebuke goes deeper inside than being punched like a punching bag. If you were a fool, if I was out for drive on a dark and stormy night, where the kind where you can't even see the road, there's a destination I want to get to. I'm so thankful that the Lord is with me, and I'm so thankful Siri is with me, right? My GPS on my phone helping me find the way, continually repeating instruction, showing me where I'm going, showing me if I get off the path, showing me the way back on the path. If I'm wise, I'm going to quickly adjust my driving to match up with what the GPS is telling me. Now, I know the GPS gets it wrong, right? Just go with me on this illustration. You know what I mean. For the most part, the GPS gets it right, and we're thankful for it. And so on those dark and stormy nights, we lean on other input to get us to our destination. My friend, our destination is to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. and you've got a ways to go, and your flesh is like dark storms. You need to listen to the voice of your brothers and sisters as they try to speak God's truth to you in love, even if they don't even get it right completely. Focus on what they do. Thank God for sending them to you, and thank them for trying to help you not just be a hearer of God's word, but being a doer of God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.